Hey, ladies, this is the inaugural episode of Do It Ugly podcast, whoop, whoop. And we are so excited to be here. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Indeed, we are so excited to be here. This is a long time dream, and honestly, we can't wait to share it with you.
So excited.
Yes.
After many years that we have finally jumped off the ledge, had our faith over fear moment once, twice, maybe three times that brought us here.
At least.
At least. So we're glad you're here with us.
Welcome to the Do It Ugly podcast. Here are your hosts, Stacy Lyon and Jenny King.
This episode is powered by Hype Girl. You can find them at hypegirl.us. Hype Girl is an amazing company that helps women all over the country locate other women just like them by community events and also finding ways to express your passions out in the world and be more of who you are because the world needs your magic. So let's get into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Today's episode is really special to us because Stacy and I are both moms and we have incredible daughters who are watching us and looking to us for advice. So today's episode is going to be a little bit about the pressures of being a girl and seeing who you're going to be in the world and how the world presses us to make decisions sometimes sooner than we're ready. And we're pretty stoked to bring it to you.
Absolutely. It's always been tough to be a middle school girl.
Yeah.
But I feel like now in today's world, it's even harder than it was for me. The pressure to know what you want to do forever.
Yeah.
As a middle schooler. And the fact that it almost seems like our schools are pressuring the kids to have the whole life figured out and not telling them it's okay to not know and it's okay to change your mind.
Like I was talking to my daughter last night and she was like, Mommy, what are you doing? And I was telling her how we were going to be podcasting today. And we were talking about the difference between being a kid and an adult. I said, don't let me fool you. I'm a kid. I just happen to have grown up money. Like that's,
that's really dangerous.
I mean, but it's what it is, right? I'm a kid with grown up money. And so that's why I can do the things, but it's not because my brain has suddenly gotten any more together because I do have dreams. I still have all these things that I want to do. And there are people in the world who try to speak fear into that, just like they do with kids. But that's an old mentality to think you have to find a path and you have to be safe. And I think for me, I'm going to encourage my daughter to not go to college. I want her to go travel and meet people and taste food around the world and experience cultures and let that dictate who she becomes and how she wants to be a person of purpose and service. Like, she's got to go taste the world. You can't decide.
I know you and I have talked many times that we feel like we have an old lady that lives inside of us and they have names.
Yes.
Yes. Your old lady name is?
It's Edith.
And my old lady name is Betty.
Yes.
But how old do you really feel on the inside?
That's an interesting question because as long as I can remember since I was a kid, I've always been an old soul, been an old soul and had the ability to relate to people much beyond my years. But I don't know that that's always been a gift. I always, as a really young child, thought that was a gift. But what I have really understood as an adult is that by being that old soul and sort of adapting myself into being able to acclimate with older people, that I've also taken on a lot of their fears and a lot of their like predisposed things because of what they dealt with in their generations, you know, the depression and dealing with world wars and what was happening and, you know, traveling, my parents being military and my dad's dad being military. So just all of that stuff, I think I ended up taking on things that weren't mine. So I don't know if that's a good thing, but she's a crazy lady, that girl, that Edith.
She's Edith.
She's 85 going on 86 and she's gnarly. She randomly speaks Yiddish for no reason. I have no idea.
I think that's interesting, especially I feel like the kids today focused on so much social media and the TikToks.
Yes.
People portray success as if it's instant and it happens really quickly. And I feel like maybe from my generation, hearing the stories more passed down almost generationally of the struggles, I knew that it was okay for me to struggle, for me to fail, for me to learn, regroup, and try again. But today, I worry for my kids that they're just seeing people portraying it as easy, almost like a one take, zero to success. And they're not seeing all the hard work in between.
Well, I think they're also seeing what I talk to my daughter about a lot is what you see about 95% of it is absolutely fake. You've got people out here, which they've been exposed on Instagram and, you know, TikTok and all these things where they're standing in front of, you know, supercars that aren't their own, or they're taking pictures in mansions they don't live in, or they're holding up cash that really isn't theirs to have. And if we can really help them set a focus on being a person of purpose and just finding things that they're passionate about and things that are going to actually create some kind of positive impact. We always say leaving people better than we found them in our house. So if it does that, then who cares about the money? Because the money will come. I think that's the lie that's being sold, is that you have to be this like brand and you have to be buying and selling yourself like a prostitute on the street for whatever your business is.
Oh, no.
But I mean, that's what that's essentially what it is. Like social media today is prostituting themselves in the dear hopes that somebody's going to come by and find them worthy enough to give them a $1 million deal to pimp their product out. That's all well and good if a brand sees you and says, hey, let's do that. But you can't wrap your worth around that. Like your worth is who you are and what you contribute in the world, not the numbers in your bank account. Having money's cool. I like it. I appreciate it. I enjoy it. But it's not what my whole existence is wrapped around.
Absolutely.
But I think for you ladies, as you're listening to Do It Ugly and you're thinking about, am I in the right place? Is my life where I wanted it to be? I just want to give you permission and encourage you to not do that in your own head. Like, stop telling yourself that you should be somewhere, that you should have accomplished this, or that it should have been this. At the end of the day, your life is what it is right now. It doesn't have to stay that way. You're not a tree. You don't have roots. You can move, right? You can definitely move.
Yeah.
But if that's where you are, if you're thinking, oh my God, my life is shit right now and I hate it, or maybe you love your life, but you're like, I wish I made some more money. Just keep leaning into the things that you're doing that are giving you success in whatever small way, and it will come. You just got to, you have to lean in harder. But if you don't like your life, if you don't like the people that are in it, that we can do entire episodes on those topics alone.
Right.
Like, just feel free.
You have permission to change.
Absolutely.
Right. I like to say what you think about, you bring about in life.
Yeah.
And your perspective and how you talk to yourself is so important, because who talks to you more during the day than you do?
No doubt. Especially if you're, yeah.
So are you speaking to yourself kindly? And if other people said to you what you said to yourself inside your mind, would you kick their booty?
Oh my gosh. Punch them in the throat for sure. Definitely. No, I think that's really powerful. I think at the end of the day, that is, it is so important. But it doesn't matter what house you live in. It doesn't matter what car you drive. It matters that you can sleep at night and that you have peace. That stuff will come. But yeah, not speaking kindly to yourself is definitely going to be a prohibitor of anything good happening in your world. I mean, your words have power. The Bible very clearly tells us that they have the power of life and death, and you speak it over yourself every day, even in the smallest things. I think that's where it gets left on the table, is even the small things, those little words, they matter. Like when you say, I'm dumb, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not pretty enough, or I don't have the right degree, or whatever those lies are that you tell yourself, and bitch, they are lies.
They are lies.
Absolutely.
I love that you and I both have the practice every year that we choose a word for the year.
Yeah.
That we're kind of going to focus and dedicate ourselves to, if you will. And this year, my word is worthy, because that's something that I really just needed to refocus my mind on. I have a servant's heart, and that leads me to want to put everyone else above myself, to put me down at the bottom of the list. And it's really starting to affect my health, my mental health, my physical health. And I just decided, you know what? I am worthy. I'm worth it. I need to put myself higher up on the priority list. And I'm working really hard this year to keep my priorities in line of God, family, then career.
This is a really interesting topic, and I'm glad you brought this up, because I think it is super important that you remind yourself that you are worthy and capable of a great life and that you deserve these things. But you know what's so interesting right now in the world? There's so much ego out in the world. And I think it's really important that we as women encourage each other and have great chats with one another just about how do we do that in the way that we don't then step into this narcissism trend that's happening in the world, where everybody's like, if you don't care about me, if you don't care about what I think is important, then, you know, it just totally makes you feel devalued and people constantly needing validation. I think there's a really important like line there. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I know I'm talking to my daughter about is, yes, you matter and everything you do is important. But by the same token, like, there are moments where you have to adjust that lens and figure out when it is about you and when it isn't about you, and be okay in those moments when it's not about you, while also loving yourself and taking tender care of your heart and your mind and protecting it at all costs. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But it also has to do with your time, your energy, your focus, your money.
Yeah.
It's not just always about ego. When you say that you're worthy, your time perhaps spent on yourself, focusing on yourself, whether it's time to read your Bible, time to listen to a motivational podcast, time to work out, for me, it goes beyond just being humble and grateful.
No, I agree. I mean, they definitely have to have practices. I think that's the number one mistake that I certainly made in my youth, is I just kept thinking that it was going to come. Like, one day I was going to wake up and be confident, and one day I was going to be this person that I wanted to be. And what I realized is that I was her all along, but I just didn't have any practices built around safeguarding her, meaning doing what you said, taking care of my mind and always learning and growing and just taking time to be quiet.
Oh, that's a good one.
And reflect.
Yes.
And not always have to be in hustle mode, because hustle culture over the last few years has told us that we have to be going 80,000 miles a minute. And it's just not true.
Well, I think for me also, I'm always raising the bar, right? So when you set a goal and you achieve it, I don't leave time for celebration, because then I'm like, okay, well, now I'm going to do this. And I'm always chasing something and I'm not leaving the space to celebrate what I've already accomplished. So I'm feeling like I'm always on the hustle. I'm always on the move.
It's funny that you say that, because in church this morning, our pastor was talking about that, and really how when we're constantly chasing things that aren't the deeply satisfying things, that we always feel like we're on that hamster wheel and it never feels like enough. And, you know, for me, my joy and my satisfaction comes from God and all the blessings that he gives me. But I think in those like little things that we do, just constantly chasing stuff that's unimportant will keep us tired and mentally just out of it.
Yes. Hence the word. What is your word this year?
My word is discipline this year.
That was my word last year. That's a good one.
It is. Yeah. Because I am really good at starting things, like putting it all out there, ladies. I'm excellent at starting things. It is the staying with and finishing that can sometimes get me, because I'm a big idea girl and I'm not a details girl. And so I get excited and I squirrel, and then all of a sudden I'm off onto something else. And it's like, oh, what happened to that? And I was like, oh yeah, I don't know what happened to that. She's been left in the dust. We don't know. But that doesn't serve me in many, many instances, my health being one of them, like constantly starting, you know, quote unquote, getting healthy. It's that time of year. We're getting healthy again.
It's Monday. We're starting our diet again.
And before you know it, I'm in the Taco Bell drive-thru shame eating a burrito with extra cheese and extra meat for 50 cents. And I've compromised already. So discipline is definitely the word. And you know what? In all actuality and honesty, I've already bombed it like a few different times since the beginning of the year.
And that's okay.
I'm not too proud to admit that, because I think at the end of the day, I'm human. And if we just keep striving to be 1% better every day, that eventually we will, you know, get the results that we want. But I also gave up hustle culture. I'm done running that rat race. I did it, like trying to always be the top of everything. Like, I just want to be in the place where I can be with my family and my friends, like you, Stacey, and hang with your family and do fun things. And I got tired of trying to be like a bajillion dollar earners. What am I going to do with it anyway?
I'll help you figure it all out.
No, but I mean, honestly, like the deep dive into that question was, okay, great. Yeah. So I achieved that dream and I run this rat race and I'm on the hamster wheel and I achieved that. And that's when it became about purpose and not the acquisition of stuff. And that is a huge shift. And I've done more now since making that shift than ever before.
It's awesome that we keep growing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I kind of love that about you.
Thank you.
I mean, too old to learn a new trick. We keep evolving, growing, changing. Becoming the people that hopefully makes God happy and wants us to be.
Well, I think that's the thing, though. We've always been those people. I don't think we're becoming anything. I think we're just shedding layers of crap, like these crap coats that we put on over the years.
I'd like to shed a few layers, a few pounds.
You are a beautiful woman, Stacey Lyon. But I think the reality is we take on all of this stuff that isn't ours to take on, and we wear this. And all along, we've been there, right? Because if you look at who you were as a little girl, I look at my own daughter. She's so tenacious and smart and funny and willful and irritating, and like she's all these.
And she has great dance moves, like her mom.
She does moves that I'm like, I don't know where she learned them from, honestly. I'm like, we are not twerking in this household, my dear.
I don't know. I might have seen you do that once or twice.
You might have seen it, but you'll never see it on video.
I'll never admit that to your daughter, though. Never.
No, never. But that's the thing, right? Like, she is all of these incredible things, and it's that walk in adult life where we lose that because we let people chip away at us and make us carry all these things that aren't ours to carry. So I think it's not finding who we are. I think it's just unloading all this shit that's not ours to carry.
Rediscovering, maybe.
Rediscovering. I think that's
better.
I like that, too. But I think that's so important, and we are so often afraid to just shed that because we think we're supposed to have the car that looks like this and the house that looks like this. And our kids are supposed to be perfect this and perfect that. And that's just not true. That's not real life. And I don't want that. Why would I want to be a Stepford wife? It reminds me of that movie where they like, the wives are ATMs. The robot. Yeah. It's like, bah, 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 and then they open their mouths and money comes out. And the husband's like, thank you, dear. And goes on. Like, I don't want to be a Stepford wife. So let me ask you this, Stacey. So when you think about your life has been making this major shift over the last couple of years and you finally said, the heck with it. I don't care how ugly it looks, how crazy I look to the people, and I'm going to take the step and do the thing. What was the moment? Like, what was the, and maybe there wasn't one, but everybody always talks about the moment where they're like, they knew it was the time to take the step. Like, what was that thing for you?
I don't know. I feel like I've had several moments throughout my life. I definitely did not expect to end up where I am right now. I guess for me, the life-changing event all tracks back to when Ben was born. So I was one of those girls that never dreamt of having a family. I played boardroom and CEO when I was little. I wanted to grow up and I wanted to have my own company. That was always my dream. Then one day you meet the man, you meet the boy, right? And you fall in love and then you're like, okay, let's get married. But never saw myself in that role. My oldest was born with disabilities, and that just took all of my focus and my energy. As soon as I knew that he needed me,
yeah,
I sold my business in Maryland and just quit my job, was a stay-at-home mom for 5 years, and spent all of my time running around trying to get him help. The doctors kept telling me, you're a first-time mom, you're just nervous, there's nothing wrong with him. But I knew in my heart and my mommy gut there was something wrong with him. And since then, Ben has been diagnosed with autism and a whole other litany of diagnoses. But he was nonverbal till he was 4.
Wow.
And that was kind of the first life-changing moment for me that I knew, okay, my life is not going to turn out the way that I really thought that it was. It's turned out even better than I think I could have imagined for myself.
You know, that's so funny because I think we all have that thing, right? When we're young, and I talk to young people all the time and they're like, well, I'm going to be like this and I'm going to do this and it's always going to look like this. And if I had kids, it'll never be this. And so I think about those times in my own life when I said that, and I'm so happy for you that you're in this place. That doesn't mean it's easy.
Oh gosh, no.
Doesn't mean it's perfect.
Oh gosh, no.
Doesn't mean that you don't have times where you're like, holy shit, somebody rescue me from myself. Like, Calgon, take me away. Let me pull my hair out, right?
Right. All the time.
But yeah, it is a gratitude and a peace in whatever it is that's happening in the chaos. I think that's when you have that kind of joy, and we'll do a whole other episode on gratitude and the power of gratitude and why that makes such a massive difference. But I think that's huge. So, but
it's
there was
really
a lot
about controlling my brain and my thoughts, right?
Yeah.
I can't let myself go to that dark place. I have to stay focused and remind myself, God gave this child to me for a reason. He handpicked me to be Ben's mom. I don't know why. I still ask myself and I ask him all the time, why did you think that I was the one for this job? Like, I think you dialed the wrong number. When I try to keep that in the forefront of my mind, it makes everything else easier.
But that's so important because, you know, I think that's the other lie that we've been sold as women, is that for you to really be in a place of peace, that you have to be chasing happiness in all things. And happiness is such a dangerous thing to chase. It's like the rabbit at the end of the greyhounds, where they race the greyhounds and they've got the thing and the rabbit goes, and there's some greyhounds that never catch it. Some of the dogs never get the rabbit. And I think we've got to give ourselves permission to say that we're not always going to be happy, and that's okay.
Like, it's sometimes I'm just making it through the day. I just have to get to the point where I can get back home in my pajamas and get back to my Netflix. Like, when that happens, I'm like, success.
No, I love that because I think there's so much pressure to put a bow on it and smile, ladies, smile. You got to smile more. What's got you down? Why don't you smile? Well, sometimes we don't feel like smiling. And, you know, God gifted me with a child. She does not have special needs, but she is a strong-willed girl. She's all the parts of me that are not always so pretty amplified by like 10,000s in many instances. So we have our own struggles in trying to make it, but that's okay. Like, if
parenting is a struggle, though, in general. Can we just say that? No matter what kind of child you are blessed to have, parenting is just hard. At least it is for me. I feel like it comes maybe more naturally for a lot of people. For me, it's one of those things that I've always had to intentionally try to get better at. It didn't feel like it was a natural skill for me.
Same. I never thought I was going to have kids.
Same.
And I only have the one, but we never thought we were going to have children. In fact, the day I found out I was pregnant, my husband was playing softball with his league, and we're standing on the softball field, like right out here outside of the field where they were about to walk on. And I'm having this conversation. I'm being so pompous and full of myself while these people are talking about their lives, their children. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to do that. Never going through that. I would never. Ugh. And I'm 3 months pregnant while we're standing there having this conversation.
And then God laughed and said, oh, I'll show you, Jenny King.
Facts.
I will show you.
That's facts. Well, ladies, we've got so much more for you. We've got so many episodes to come. We hope this has been a blessing. We know it's all over the place. But again, the name of the podcast is Do It Ugly. And it's not always going to be pretty. But if you walk away with something that just gives you a little peace and excited about taking on the next day, then I think it's a win.
Yeah, I hope by us sharing our lives and sharing the ugly that's in our lives with you, it will give you some comfort, but also make you feel like, hey, if those two crazy biatches can do it, I can do it too.
Facts. We're like the human version of the pet rock. If it can survive, you've got this, baby. All right. Well, we love you, ladies. We can't wait to see you on the next episode. This is Jenny King
and Stacey Lyon
signing off for Do It Ugly. All right, bitches. We'll see you on the flip side. Love you.
Love you.